the state publishes a new forest land use plan for the Baby Brown timber sale. And Skagway AP&T workers are rescued after their boat runs aground. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Three Alaska power and telephone workers were rescued yesterday after their boat ran aground 6 miles south of Skagway, according to a report from the Alaska State Troopers. Employees Lance Caldwell, Corey Nelson, and Jordan Frost were returning from doing winter shutoff work at the Cassadiah Hydro Power Plant around 3:30 p.m. when their boat ended up on the rocks. But Darren Belial, AP&T's power operations manager for Upper Lynn Canal, says it wasn't their fault.
Our boat captain headed down there to pick him up, and the state ferry was going by at the same time, and just had a weird wave hit him and turn him sideways and got stuck on the beach.
No one was hurt, but the workers couldn't free themselves.
And the boat's big enough that they couldn't, with the outgoing tide, couldn't keep up and get it, so we just called search and rescue to yank us off the beach.
Six rescue volunteers did just that. They got the 26-foot skiff off the rocks, and Nelson, Caldwell, and Frost drove it back to Skagway without incident. Alaska Marine Highway records show the MV Columbia was the likely culprit. This summer, the largest potential timber sale in the Haynes Forest in decades was put on hold. The decision from the Department of Natural Resources was made in response to a successful appeal of the Forest Land Use Plan for the 855-acre sale. The Division of Forestry has put forward a new plan. The Baby Brown timber sale, about 35 miles northwest of Haynes, offers up 20 million board feet of old-growth spruce and hemlock. Last year, Astoria Forest Products offered $270,000 for the timber. They were the only bidder. But the sale hasn't gone forward. DNR Commissioner Andrew Mack canceled the deal as it was being offered. That's because Lynn Canal Conservation successfully appealed the state's land use plan, also known as a FLUP. The original FLUP was only for a portion of the sale. LCC said it shouldn't have gone out to bid until plans were complete for the entire area. Haynes Forester Greg Palmieri says that's the main difference between the new document and the old one.
This plan takes into account the entire sale offering, which is 11 harvest units. The first forest land use plan only offered a harvest plan that applied to the first two units that were going to be for the sale.
Palmieri explains why only a portion of the potential sale was addressed the first time around.
I was directed to make the most effective use of the timber sale offering as I possibly could initially by creating a forest land use plan for two units to start with that could be prepared for that operational season, which would have been this past summer, had that gone through.
After the successful appeal, Palmieri went back and wrote up a plan for the entire sale.
So I'm hoping that that's going to lead to successful discussion and moving forward with the sale.
But LCC President Eric Hawley says the overarching environmental concerns haven't been alleviated.
We're not really any happier with the land use plan. They've dotted a few I's and crossed some T's, but the real issues remain the same.
Hawley sees a fundamental flaw with the sale.
The big issue is that clear-cutting old-growth forest in these large industrial-scale cuts is really from the dark ages of forestry. And most places around the world that still have old growth do not do that.
He points to some positive aspects of the plan.
I should say it's encouraging to see some mention of the hydrologic impacts and the impacts to cavity nesting birds, for example. But the use of partial cuts and shelterwood cuts and so forth is not convincing. The same old problems are going to remain.
Though he can't say for sure, Hawley doesn't think LCC will appeal the sale again. But he remains concerned about potential environmental impacts.
Really, they're going to be removing 855 acres of old growth trees near the Klehini River, which is a prime salmon stream. And there's not a whole lot we can do about that.
Forestry is accepting public comments on the current forest land use plan until December 11th. You can link to the full document with this report on our website, khns.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has opened the bids for the first phase of the Haines Highway Reconstruction Project. Four companies made offers. Road construction business Secon is the apparent low bidder at $36 million. The highway project is federally funded. It's intended to improve safety. Work will include widening the shoulders of the road and realigning some curves. Construction is set to begin in the spring. In the first phase of the project, work will be done from around mile 4 to mile 12 of the highway. KHNS will have an update on the bids once a construction contract is awarded and more information is made public. Out of 5 applicants, the Haines Planning Commission has recommended 3 residents to join the group. Commissioners endorsed Donnie Turner, Sylvia Hines, and Kristen Hathorn. Those recommendations need to be confirmed by Mayor Jan Hill. Turner, who received the most support from the group, is currently serving on the commission and is seeking reappointment. Hines and Hathorn are newcomers. Hines is part owner of Chilkat Valley Sawmill. In her application, Hines says her experience in the local timber industry has made her aware of both the benefits and impacts of resource extraction. That activity has been an ongoing conversation at the Planning Commission. Hathorn's professional experience is in teaching. In her application, she says she wants to, quote, help the Planning Commission make wise decisions based on borough code and the comprehensive plan. These recommendations will be passed on to Mayor Jan Hill. She'll make the final appointments. Overnight temperatures continue to hover in the teens and 20s, but Juneau's city-run warming shelter won't be ready until next month. The city has selected the blue and white former State Department of Public Safety building for the downtown facility. Housing Officer Scott Shambor said the city is still negotiating with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, which owns the Whittier Avenue property.
We're still working on the final details on the lease, looking at putting the insurance pieces in place, working with service providers on the personnel contract so that they can provide staffing.
The original plan was for the warming shelter to open this week. Shambor said his office understands that there's
interest in seeing this come online as fast as possible, so we're hoping to do so and really think December 1st is the realistic date.
Juneau's downtown homeless shelter has been running at capacity for the past week. Deputy Director Kyle Hargrave said people there are anxious for a warming shelter to open.
I have a growing list of people who are suspended for 1 to 2 days at a time, up to a month at a time, and they will literally stand outside my door and ask me when the warming center is going to open, because they're not allowed to come here, and if those individuals are not allowed to come to the glory hole, there's usually no other place to turn.
The Juneau Assembly approved $75,000 last week for the facility to shelter up to 25 people overnight over the next 5 months. It's budgeted to be open for 100 nights from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. when temperatures fall below freezing. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.